The staff is accusing me of not practicing what I preach, so I would like to tell you that I'll be seeing the doctor on Friday for my knee, if anybody wants to pray. Anyway, I hurt my left knee a couple weeks ago and still not better, so I'm going to go see a doctor. We'll see how it goes. And the main thing I'm frustrated about, I've been losing all this weight because I've been working out, and it's hard to work out when your knee's not right. So, no, I'm going to be nothing. It's going to be like, they're going to say it's a, anyway, it's going to be nothing, really. All right. And then next week, I'll be headed out Friday, or Monday, to go out to West Coast Baptist Bible College and pick up my son from college, and we'll be driving back on Wednesday in his truck. That's all that needs to be said. So be in prayer for us. I just really enjoy our staff, and what a blessing, Brother Latta, Brother Wiggins, Brother Cox, and Brother Dickerson's doing a fantastic job as well, doing a good job. Appreciate our staff, and appreciate Brother Wiggins. And so he'll be preaching tonight, and preaching. We'd already had this on the calendar, and preaching next Wednesday night. We're going to let him preach some more as time goes forward, and we appreciate his ministry, and I love his preaching. We always brag on his singing, but he's a great preacher. Appreciate him. Come on, preach.
Malachi chapter 3. Everybody saying, oh no, it's preaching on time and run. Malachi chapter 3. Wonderful book, the book of Malachi is. That's the last book in the Old Testament of the minor prophets. Wonderful, wonderful book to study. It's a prophetical book. It deals with a lot about the end times, and that's what we'll look at. We in a series of the last days of the end times. And I don't think you have to do much preaching on it anymore. All you have to do is just open up your eyes and look around, and you realize that time is coming. I was reading an illustration today of, and I gave an illustration in our class Sunday. I'll give that to you also, but it's almost as if there's a door, and Jesus is right on the other side, just about to put his hand on the knob. And right now, all we're hearing is the preaching, preparing the way, and that's what we'll look at tonight. And also, I gave the illustration of some things we'll look at, because a lot of times when you deal with prophecy, prophecy doesn't necessarily deal with the church age. The prophets didn't see the church age like we see it today. They look beyond that valley and look to the next mountain peak. When they looked from the Old Testament, they looked and they saw another mountain peak, and that was the second coming of Christ after the tribulation period, after 7 years of tribulation. But I also want to say is that that if Jesus was to come today, there would be 7 years of tribulation period, and then He would come back with His saints. The first time He comes for His saints, meets us in the clouds. We meet Him in the clouds, and then the second time we come back, already judged and new body, amen, hallelujah. We come back with Him, riding on a white horse, amen. We're come back with Him, and I'm looking forward to that also. But we also, I believe, if something is going to happen in 7 year time and in a tribulational time, is that I believe we can see the shadow of it today. I gave this illustration to our class Sunday, is that whenever we have the fall festival here at the church, is that you can drive by on Thursday or you can drive by on Friday and you'll see it set up out here. You'll see a lot of it set up. But it's not ready until Saturday. It's not ready for people to come through until Saturday. And right now, we're living in the preparation age, amen, of the coming of Jesus Christ for His saints. The rapture is intimate. I mean, it's close. It's at the door. And I believe the things that even Malachi talks about are some things that we can see in our world today as he talks about the coming Messiah. Malachi was the last prophet that Judah would hear until there was a man coming out of the wilderness. He was eating locusts and wild honey and had a skirt on. That's my kind of preacher, amen? And so for over 400 years after Malachi finishes his prophecy or finishes his writings through the Holy Spirit, is that there's over 400 years until the time that John the Baptist comes walking out of the wilderness and begins to prophesy about the Messiah again. And of course we know that through this, through the book of Malachi, we see a lot of things happening here. We see that they have broken three covenants of God. And I'll give these to you real quick as an introduction. Number one, they broke the covenant of the priesthood or of Levi. They took the office of the priest and they began to offer sacrifices that were not meant to be sacrificed. They were selling them. We even see that bleed over until the time of Jesus. When Jesus went into the temple and He turned the tables over, it was because they were having to pay for the sacrifices that were tied up outside. That was not God's plan. By the way, any deviation from God's plan is wrong. And I'll get on one here in a minute that we'll all say amen to. Number two, the covenant of the fathers. You see that here in Malachi. That was the Mosaic covenant. The Mosaic covenant that God had given to Moses during His time. And I'm trying to hurry. Number the third one was the covenant of marriage. The covenant of marriage. My friends, today we've broken that covenant today. Whenever we have a world where a man wants to marry a man and a woman wants to marry a woman, I think we've left that covenant. Any deviation from that is wrong. And so Malachi comes on the scene and says, whoa, what are y'all doing? I read this. This is a good quote. It said, the priests were insincere. You can read that in chapter 1. And then the politicians were insane. Let me say that again and see if you realize. Let me read that in the 21st century. The preachers were insincere. And the politicians were insane. That's because our Bible go home. We're living in the last days. We live in a day where people are just insane today. Amen. And so look, if you will, in verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, behold, I will send my messenger. That is talking futuristic. He did not say, I have sent my messenger. But he said, I will send my messenger. He's speaking of a prophecy about John the Baptist. And he shall prepare the way before me. So in other words, God says, before I send the second messenger, the first messenger will go out. And when we read the story about John the Baptist, is that we read the commentation on him is he is the one who prepared the way for Jesus Christ. Now look at the rest of the verse. It says, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Now he gives us really two prophecies here. He gives us, it's amazing, because in the Old Testament, they didn't get it confused. The God wanted it that way because the Holy Spirit inspired the Bible, so it was written the way it was supposed to be written. Amen? But He gives you the prophecy of John the Baptist coming on the scene, but then He skips some, and He goes all the way to the second coming of Christ. And we know that through studying the book of Malachi, the things that Christ is coming to do, He's coming to judge. The first time Jesus came, He didn't come necessarily as a judge. He came to fulfill the law. And to die on the cross for mine and your sin so He could pay sin's penalty that is wiped away forever to those that believe in Jesus Christ. Now He says, even the messenger of my covenant, that's speaking of Jesus Christ, whom you delight in. Behold, He shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. By the way, let me remind you, He shall come. He is coming. He's on His way. He's not delayed. He's not delayed His coming. I got corrected the last revival meeting I preached at. I said the statement that if God tarry His coming, is that we would do this. And boy, after service, I got corrected by, I got a note passed to me, and it said, you need to read Hebrews 11:37 or whatever it is, and says God will not tarry. You know what I'm saying when I say that, right? If God doesn't come. And so, anyway, I'm glad I'm corrected on that now. I feel a little bit smarter. Verse 2. But who may abide the day of His coming? And who shall stand when He appeareth? For He is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. And He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Now, just to kind of prick our minds just a little bit, is that I'm reminding myself too, is that 70 years the Israelites were in bondage. They were released during the time of Nehemiah. Remember when Nehemiah went and they were released in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, when they went back to what? To rebuild the temple. They went to rebuild the walls, to rebuild Jerusalem during that time. 5,000 of them went initially and started building the temple back. Now we see in Malachi going, and a lot of people believe that this is during the time of Nehemiah, after they've been exiled, and he's prophesying to them. And you say, well, why is he prophesying to them? Because they just come out of bondage not too long, and they're already complaining and doing things wrong. That's the life of the Israelites, by the way. When they crossed the Red Sea, I believe Pastor preached this Sunday, when they crossed the Red Sea, they came out of the Red Sea, they're only 3 days into their journey, and guess what happens? They start whining and complaining and saying, I wish we was back there. Almost reminds you of us being kids, doesn't it? You know, the other problem, if you read the book of Malachi, one thing that happens is that they do, if you ever watch Cops, you'll see an illustration of the book of Malachi. Because God says, you have done this. And they say, well, wherein have we done this? We didn't do that. You ever watch Cops? They pull the guy over. He has drugs in the car. And matter of fact, I saw one. The guy had drugs on his ear, had marijuana on his ear. And the cop said, is there anything I should know about? And the guy said, nothing. You can check the car. And the cop said again, hey, are you sure that there's nothing that I need to know about? Anything that's illegal on your person or in your car? And the guy said, no, sir. Cop walks over there, grabs it, and the guy says, oh, I forgot about that. But most of the time, what do they say? No, that's not mine. And we live in the world today, even to my kids, you know. You go up to them, you say, did you do that? Mm-mm. It was always somebody else. That was the way the Israelites were. They were always trying to point the finger to somebody else. And God sent His prophet, Malachi, in there to say, no, wait a minute, it's you. Here is the law, and you have broken it. And God is trying to get His people to realize is that He loves them. In chapter 1 of Malachi, He said, don't forget, I love you. He starts off the book of Malachi by saying, I love you, and the reason I love you, or how I'm going to show you that I love you, is that I'm going to correct you. By the way, that's the job of a parent. The reason I correct my kids is because I love them. And that's the way God does with us. And God corrects us in love and compassion. So, and that's what He's doing to His children here. So as we look tonight, and I really want to get into this, and the title of this is Just Before the Lights Go Out. By the way, Malachi is the last prophet. Lights are going to go out for over 400, almost for 400 years. The lights of prophecy are gone. The light switch has been turned off, and until the time of John the Baptist, the light switch gets turned on, the world lives in darkness. We understand through history that a lot of things happened during the dark ages that were not good. And I'm telling you, my friends, the light switch is just about to go out on this world that we live in. I believe God has His hands upon the switch that switches the lights off. By the way, you say, what do you mean by that? Because one day Jesus is coming for who? He's coming for the light of the world. Who's the light of the world? We are now. We are the light of the world. And one day He's going to take us out of here and this world's going to go dark. You say, can it get darker? You take the Holy Spirit and the Christian out and I'll tell you what's going to happen. Chaos. And I say this all the time, is that whenever the rapture happens, there's going to ensue chaos upon this world that has never been seen before. We see as we read this chapter, as we look in this, we see some things, I believe, that will help us draw a comparison of our day and the day of Malachi. And I'll give you these real quick. Number one, the parallel of the day. The parallel of the day in which he lived in. What was going on? Well, you can draw a lot of parallels in the Bible. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 21, is that as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And he says that all the things that are going on, well, if you go to Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7, you begin to read, you'll see that man's mind, his intentions, his actions were only evil continually. That's the world we live in. But he goes on to say in chapter 21 of Luke, he says, and also as it were in the days of Lot. You say, what day was that? That was the day of Sodom and Gomorrah when sodomy was going on. By the way, we live in the Romans chapter 1 world today where man is doing that which is unseemly, a woman is doing that which is unseemly, and we live in that day today where they have full reign. By the way, when we see these things happening, it ought to disgust us, but it also ought to make us look up. By the way, God's going to give a crown to those who love His appearing. I'm looking forward to that crown. I know I'm going to get one of them. Amen. There's another one for a preacher. I'm not sure if I'm going to get that one. But I promise you one thing. Michael Wiggins looks for the coming of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, you know what the Bible says? That He's going to come as a thief in the night. But you know what? He shouldn't come as a thief in the night to you and me. When He comes, we shouldn't go, "Oh, I didn't know that was going to happen." When He comes, we ought to be going, "Hey, it's about time." Amen. I've been waiting on that. I'm looking forward to that day when He comes and He says He'll reward them which love His appearing. I'm going to be that one going, "Lord, I may not get no other crown. I may not get no other jewel, but I'm going to get that one that says who loved Your appearing." If I wake up every morning, whew, I mean, I hear the least little rumble, I'm going, "Oh Lord, here it comes. Here it comes." And I'm looking forward to that day. We see that the parallel that we can draw. Remember, as we look at this, what is the parallel of that day? Well, apostasy. Apostasy was going on rampant in this world today. Matter of fact, write this down. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, and look at that later. I don't want to read it for time's sake, but basically this is what it says, is that before the Lord comes back, there will be a falling away. You say, what does that mean? By the way, if you've never been to my house, you can never leave my house. You say, what do you mean? If there's going to be a falling away, that means you once were somewhere. That's talking to the Christians. I believe that's talking to the ones who are church members. I believe that's talking to the ones who have come and received Christ. And guess what? There's going to be a falling away. You want to draw a parallel of the day? You know what Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 tells us? Is that not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as manner of some is, but what does it say? So much the more as we see the day approaching. You say, what do you mean? What are churches doing today? Are they having more services or less services? You look it up. I know what it is. They're going to one service a day. And the pastor's going, "Whew, I'm tired. I preach once this week. I'm done." And what's silly about that? They know what they're going to preach a month in advance. I know that because I see their sign out there. It tells you what they're going to preach for a month. I wish I knew what I was going to preach tonight. I still ain't figured that out. The parallel of the day is apostasy is going to go. It's going to be a falling away. And my friends, we see that today. Church is not a priority. Bible's not a priority. Prayer's not a priority. We have fallen away from God. We see also the anguish of that day. The parallel, we want to draw a parallel. We look at the apostasy that was going on. They were doing that which God told them not to do. They were breaking God's covenant. They had gone away from the law of God. Second of all, we see the anguish. You know what the children of Israel lived in all their life? They lived in a state of cycle. Get right, fall. Repent, get right. I mean, but God would judge them in that cycle. They lived in a time where God was pressing them by what? He used Babylon to press them. He used Babylon to come upon them into captivity, put them in captivity. He used Zerubbabel and all these kings to press upon him. He used the Philistines to press his people and cause anguish in their life. Why? Because they had gone away and God's trying to get them back. God said that. He said, "Israel, Israel, I would have gathered you." He said, "I wanted to gather you, but you didn't want to come." That's what God's trying to do in these last days. He's trying to gather those who have gone astray. And people today, we live in the most stressed out world that has ever been. Generation that has ever been. We got more easy things. I mean, why are we stressed out? I don't have to walk out of my house to call somebody. I mean, I can be driving down the road now and I can talk to a lady on my phone called Siri. We're pretty close. And I say, "Siri, will you text Roberta Armstrong?" She says, "Well, of course I will, Mr. Wiggins. I got her trained." And she says, "What do you want to say to Roberta Armstrong?" I said, "Tell her I'm praying for her, and she'll do it." I mean, amazing world we live in. If my mom wants to talk to me, she can find me anywhere. My mother-in-law, too. We live in a convenient world, but why? We live in a more stressed-out world today than we ever have lived in. You say, "How do you know that?" Study how much medication goes out in the world every day. That people can't live with this world without their little bottle. What a sad world we live in. People are so stressed out. You say, "How do you know that?" Because I'm there too. I find myself at the end of the day going, why did I worry about that? It's in God's control. And we live in that world. We live in the world of arrogancy. As in the times of Malachi, you'll see the arrogancy. If you read the book of Malachi, you see nothing but arrogancy and pride. Why? Because they're saying, wherein have we robbed God? We didn't do it. Well, wherein have we stole from? We didn't do it. We live in that arrogant day, don't we? Nobody's done nothing wrong. But God, in His judgment, has showed us that you have done something wrong. We see the second thing. We see the pollution of the day. Verses 7 through 12 show us that. Shows us the pollution of that day. And God is saying to them that you have polluted my ordinances. He says that you have polluted all of my covenants. And God begins to go through there and He begins to show them that they polluted three things. They polluted God's Sabbath, they polluted God's sacrifices, and they polluted God's sanctuary. How sad that we live in a day where there's so much pollution. I'm not one of those green guys. Amen. I mean, I'm not for going out here and pouring oil on the ground. Don't think so. If nobody's looking. No. I'm all for let's take care of the world. But I'm saying is that the pollution of this world is in us. In our minds and our hearts. And God constantly wants us to clean it out. That was the problem that Jesus dealt with when He walked on this earth. He dealt with the polluted Pharisees. Remember, He said, you clean up the outside of the cup. And by the way, it's good. You ought to clean up the outside. That's good. But you'll never clean up the outside until you get the inside clean. And Christ even said that to the Pharisees. He said, hey, you cleaned up the outside of the cup, but inside you're filthy. You're polluted. And in the times of Malachi, it was the same way. These people had polluted God's place and had polluted God's Sabbath, His sanctuary, and His sacrifices. But also we see the third thing tonight. The third thing, we see the purging of the day. By the way, there's a purging going on today. We see it. Is that separating the real faith from the fake faith? We see that today. As the world begins to press upon the Christian and begins to press upon the church, we see when pressure come, and by the way, Jesus said this, ye shall go through tribulation. You're gonna go through troubles, you're gonna go through tribulations, you're gonna go through trials, you're gonna be mocked, you're gonna be scorned. He said, they did it to me, they're gonna do it to you. And Paul even told us, and Timothy tells us, hey, you're gonna have to bear your cross. You're gonna have to carry. And by the way, Jesus said, you'll bear my reproach. And God, in His goodness, gave us grace. We can bear it. We can go through with it. He said, I'll give you my burden, this light. He said, I'll give you rest in that time. But I'm telling you, persecution is going to come upon the church. And when persecution comes, it's like and we've noticed this in our verse 2. Look again, if you will. It says, but who may abide the day of His coming? And who shall stand when He appeareth? For He is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. A fuller's soap. I begin to study that, and a refiner's fire is a good picture of that. He is the judge. You know what the problem with God being a judge is that God sees everything. Even our thoughts. You know what? I probably would get an A+ if y'all judged me. As long as you wasn't around me too long. If I was just coming to you and say, hey, give me you think I'm a pretty good person? You'd be like, oh yeah. Because I'm a quiet guy, I'm a nice guy. I'll give you $20 for it. But when I ask God, He reminds me that there's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous. There's none that seeketh after God. You're righteous as filthy rags. And I'm going, wow. And then He says, you better be thankful for Jesus Christ. Because that's where I stand. I stand complete in Him. But in my daily life, I realize I need to be purged every day. I need that sin out of my life so I can live a life and listen to Christ and follow Him and follow His will and His Word. He's a refiner's fire. He's a judge. He looks in and He sees the truth in our lives. The second thing it mentions is the fuller's soap. A fuller was one who washed and bleached clothing. That's a picture of Him being our priest, our high priest. He has purged us. He has cleansed us. He has, and by the way, it says by the washing of the Word, every day we can be cleansed. This is the fuller soap. It cleanses us. You know what I realize, and I know probably none of y'all realize this, is that I have to take a shower every day. Because, I'm telling you, I can take a shower, sit around the house all day, at the end of the day go, again? Because it doesn't last. But if you use the fuller soap as Jesus Christ is, that's supernatural soap. He cleanses us from within. I'm clean tonight because I stand before Christ, God cleansed. How? Through Jesus Christ. He is the supernatural soap. You know, I thought about this. Remember when John said when Jesus walked down to the shore of the Jordan River, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world." You know what he was saying? Behold the soap of God. That's what Jesus is. He's the soap that cleanses us. That cleanses us from our sins. He is our high priest. He's making intercession for us. We see that Jesus Christ is coming, and He's coming very soon. And we see the shadow of His coming. We see those things happening. The apostasy in our world today is rampant. We see that. Matter of fact, before you get into the book of Revelation, there is a pre-revelation. It's called the book of Jude. You know what Jude deals with? He deals with apostasy. He deals with apostasy before he deals with the seven churches of Asia Minor in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. We see that even in the times of Christ, before Christ comes back, there's going to be apostasy. There's going to be a falling away. And we live in that day. We see that we live in the day that is, I'm telling you, it's a great day that we live in. Because I believe it's the day of the Lord. I believe I can almost hear the trumpet sounding. Malachi was preaching and prophesying to the Israelites, to the Jewish people, telling them to get right, clean it up, and get on the narrow path. Why? Because the lights are fixing to go out. By the way, let me remind you, the lights are just about to go out. There's not going to be no more preaching. It's all going to be over with. The Lord's going to shut the door. Remember what happened in the days, and he said, like it were in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, is that there was eight people that God found righteous. Eight people. God told him, he said, prepare an ark. And by the way, God's prepared us an ark. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our ark. We get in Christ and God closes the door. And we're sealed. Hey, listen, for 40 days and 40 nights when the rains beat upon that ark, they were safe. Why? Because Noah was such a good builder? No, because God had such a good plan. And God has a plan for us. And His plan for us was for us to hop in Jesus Christ. And the way we come and we are in Christ and Christ is in us is that we come in faith, believing that He is who He said He was and trusting Him and turning from our sins, repenting of it, and becoming a Christian. Being born again into the family of God. When we're born into the family of God, we're born into an ark. Remember Moses? He was in an ark. He was saved by an ark. Noah and his family was saved by an ark. I'm in the ark. I'm riding the storm out right now. But one day I'm going to arrive safely on that shore. That door's going to open which God had closed because I'm sealed until the day of redemption. By the day of redemption means the day that Christ comes back for His church. It's all in the Bible. And He's coming back soon. And one day He's going to say, come up hither. Read Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. He says, come up hither. All things are ready. Woohoo! I'm going, gravity's going to lose its hold upon Michael Wiggins. I love the illustration a man said one time. He said, the Holy Spirit's like a piece of metal in each of us. When Jesus comes back, He's going to wave a big magnet over it, and everybody who has that metal of the Holy Spirit in them, boom, 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 boom. And even if you're in the grave, boom, even if you're in the bottom of the CCC, getting out of here. I'm telling you, my friends, the day is near. We are living in the last days. I hope you're excited about that. I think we live in the greatest time ever. I'm glad. Paul thought he lived in the last days. I believe we live in the last days. I can guarantee you one thing, we're a lot closer than Paul was. Amen? You know what? My grandfather, my great-grandfather was a Sunday school superintendent for 45 years of his life. You know what he said before he died? He believed Jesus was coming back. That was 30 years ago. You know what? I'm closer than my great-grandfather was. You know what my grandfather told me? He said, "Son," I can't tell you what he used to call me, my nickname. He would give me a name, and he'd say, "You know what? He's coming back." Boy, look around, ain't it? He watched the news, and before he'd turn that thing off, he'd say, "That just tells us the Lord's coming back right there." He'd turn it off. My grandfather thought, that's been over 10 years ago. I'm closer than he was. I'm winning the race. I'm getting closer and closer. They beat me. But I want to go in the rapture. I want to just skip the whole grave thing. Amen? I just want to skip the whole eulogy. I hate those things. I don't want to hear who I'm from and where I'm born and all this. Nobody cares about that for me. They're like, Enterprise, Alabama, where is that at? I don't even know where that is. I just want to go. Amen? I'm looking for the Undertaker, not the Undertaker. Amen? Let's stand tonight. Pastor comes and...